total focus, total intensity, to fill our heart, to guard our heart, and then to live it flat out for God. Well, go ahead and have a seat, guys. It's great to see you. Thanks so much for being here. It's always great to gather on these men's arsenal nights, and so glad for each and every one of you who are here. Well, hey, we are going to be in the book of Proverbs here tonight, and Proverbs is considered a wisdom literature in the Bible, and so that's what we're going after. It's what we're going to be talking about, of course, is wisdom, and how to pursue wisdom, how to have a heart of wisdom, how to live out a life of wisdom. It's going to be all about wisdom, and so I titled the message here, Get Wisdom. In fact, turn to your neighbor and just say, get wisdom. All right. I think we got it here. I think you're ready now. Jump over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27 will be kind of our main verses tonight. If you're taking notes, here's the first point. One, get it. Fill your heart with God's wisdom. Get it. Fill your heart with God's wisdom. Look at verse 20. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Are you guys able to turn the lights up just a little bit up, guys in the back, up here? Just to get a little more light here on the Bible. Those are the first three verses here as we talk about filling your heart with God's wisdom. Let's do a quick little background here on Proverbs as we jump in. Proverbs has several authors, but the main writer is Solomon. And you remember back in 1 Kings chapter 3 that Solomon asked God for wisdom above everything else. And God gives it to him. In fact, God says, no one before you or after you will have a wise and discerning mind like yours, Solomon. And so Solomon writes with that wisdom, with the wisdom of God. And the primary person that gets these nuggets of wisdom who he's speaking to is his son or his sons. In fact, look back at verse 20, and you see that phrase there, my son. All right, see it there? Go ahead and circle that. All right, that phrase comes up 15 times in the first seven chapters of Proverbs. All right, guys, raise your hand if you're a dad. All right, I know there's got to be lots of dads out there. Yep. All right, this is a dad. Solomon's a dad. And he's teaching his son, he's counseling his son to get wisdom. It's the same privilege that we have as dads to counsel our kids. And wisdom really is not just about getting a bunch of facts in your head, right? It's not about being a Jeopardy champion. Wisdom is really living for God. And so I've got a definition for you here. It's really simple. You could write this down. Wisdom is applying God's truth to your everyday life. Okay? It's not just knowledge. Wisdom is applying God's truth to your everyday life. Another way I've heard it said is that wisdom is the skill of living your life from God's point of view. Right, the wisdom of God, it's the skill of living your life from God's point of view. Finally, I'll say this as we talk about wisdom. Wisdom is really about living our lives in alignment with God's word, God's will, God's purposes, and God's glory. Right? It's about living our lives in alignment with God's word, God's will, God's purposes, and God's glory. It's all about God. It's why Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if you want to be a wise person, you need to know God. If you want to be a wise person, you need to know God's word, because wisdom comes from God. I say this, wisdom comes in knowing God, this all-wise God. God has all the wisdom. And so Solomon is being urgent with his son, teaching him, commanding him, pleading with him. Let me give you just a little more background. Go to Proverbs 4 and go back to verse 1. All right, stay in Proverbs 4 there, go back to verse 1. And I want to read just the first seven verses as we kind of frame all this. So he says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, Be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. So now he says this, when I was a son, so Solomon's talking about when he was a kid, when I was a son with my father, that was King David. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, that was Bathsheba. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. There's our title. Right? Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. Right? The protection of wisdom. He says this in verse 7. Now, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Right? The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight, son. All right? Father to son or sons. All right? So King David to Solomon to his son, sons. Right? So generation after generation. All through Proverbs, guys, there's this huge focus on pursuing wisdom, right? With all you got, all your focus, all your energy, with everything you got, all in. In fact, I was thinking about this week is that wisdom, I was thinking, is going to cost you something. And the only thing that's going to cost you more is not getting wisdom, right? Getting wisdom, it's a big deal. Everybody say it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so I wonder, what things do you pursue with all your heart? Where do you spend your energy? Where do you spend your time? What do you pour into? Here Solomon in chapter 4 is pleading, son, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Look back at verse 20 now. Let's walk through these verses, 20 to 22. We already saw this. My son, he says, be attentive to my words. He's like, son, pay attention, all right? And then he says, incline your ear to my sayings. He's like, son, listen up, all right? Pay attention, listen up. You see, being a dad hasn't changed much in the last thousands of years, right? Pay attention, son, listen up, all right? It sounds very familiar. Verse 21, let them not escape from your sight. He's like, stay focused on them. Don't lose sight of these words. Hear them, see them, and now embrace them, right? He says, keep them within your heart. Man, this is so important. He's like, don't let them go in one ear and out the other. Let them go down into your heart. Let God's wisdom shape your heart, guys. Not just bend our ear, but shape our heart, which shapes our life. It's thinking, what goes into your ears? What goes before your eyes? What's in your heart? You know, it really is important. If you read through the Proverbs, I would encourage you maybe to do that over the next week or two here, is just start in chapter 1 and work your way through to chapter 31. But what you'll see, one of the main themes in Proverbs is it really lists all the benefits of choosing wisdom, all right, and the consequences really of not. The benefits of wisdom, of choosing it and living it, and the consequences of not. That's what he says really in verse 22. He's like, you know, pay attention, incline your ear, let them not escape from your sight, and then keep them within your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them, and they are healing to all their flesh. So guys, teenagers, he's like, you want to enjoy life? Do you want to have a life that's satisfying and content and good? He's like, pay attention to wisdom. He's like, look, you want to avoid the physical consequences on your body of foolish choices, son? Pay attention to wisdom. The call here, get God's wisdom. And absolutely, we need the Holy Spirit in this. We need a work of God in our life, in our heart. But we play a role in this too, to get wisdom, to fill our hearts with God's wisdom. In fact, we know from Colossians 2 that wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ. I love the way that Colossians 2:3 says it. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so what would I say to you tonight? Pursue Jesus Christ. If you want wisdom, pursue Christ. Stay close to Christ. He's the all-wise God. Abide in him. Right? Cultivate a daily, personal, close relationship with Jesus, the all-wise God. Cultivate a daily, personal, and close relationship with Jesus. He has all the wisdom. And so wisdom is found in Christ. And so if you want to seek God's wisdom, you have to seek God. And if you want to seek God, you need to seek God's word. Wisdom is found also in the word of God, right? The very words of God, his heart, his words, his wisdom. In fact, I wanted to read to you 2 Timothy 3:14-17. Wisdom is found in the word of God. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of," this is Paul to Timothy, "because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ." He goes on to say, "And all Scripture is breathed out by God and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work," right? Wisdom found in Christ, wisdom found in the words of God. The Bible contains the very words of God. And this is a powerful book because God is a powerful God. I was thinking this week as I was thinking about the Bible and I was thinking about wisdom, I started thinking about really just even the metaphors that the Bible uses about itself. Right, to really help us understand its precision, its power, its clarity, its wisdom. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought I'd bring a couple props in. And I wanted to say this, is that one of the ways in terms of a metaphor and how the Bible describes itself is, I'm going to give you a couple here. In James chapter 1, it says that the Bible's like a mirror. The Bible's like a mirror. And a mirror, right, helps us to see ourselves as we really are. It gives us a clear picture, right? You could say the Word of God, it helps you see yourself as yourself. And not just, sometimes we think of the Word of God and we think, showing me maybe my flaws or my sin or way that I need to grow still, and that's true. But that's not just the only thing. Right, the Word of God also reflecting back and helping me see what? Who I am in Christ, right? Who I am in Christ, my identity in Him. And so God's Word gives us wisdom as it's like a mirror and it reflects back and it shows us our true self. In 1 Peter 2, the metaphor that Peter uses is that, you know, the Word of God, he says, it's kind of like milk. Right? And like a baby craves milk, we're to crave and hunger and thirst for the Word of God. That just like that little baby needs to eat to grow physically, we as Christians, as men of God, need to feed ourselves on God's Word to grow spiritually. Right? And so the Word of God helps us to grow up in our faith. It's like a mirror, it's like milk. The other thing the Bible says about itself in terms of its wisdom that it gives us is it says in Psalm 119, you know it, the word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light. It's a light to my way. We live in a dark world and God's word helps us see. It helps bring things to light. It shows me areas that I need to avoid. It exposes things. It also helps me know the way that I should walk in. It keeps me on the right path. The Word, it's a lamp to my feet. It's a light unto my way. It gives me wisdom by giving me divine guidance to be able to walk with God and divine protection to know, don't go that way. And so the Bible gives us these pictures. We've got a mirror. We've got milk. We've got a light. And then the last one I want to share with you is that in Jeremiah 23, it says the Bible is like a hammer. And it talks about the way that by the Spirit of God working through the Word of God, that it breaks up the hard heart, right? It shatters pride. It crushes self-sufficiency. And so the word of God is like a hammer, and it's breaking up the hard heart, and it's softening the heart as the Spirit of God uses the words of God to soften our hearts, to help us to be responsive to the word, to God's wisdom. Those are just some of the metaphors in Scripture. We see others. But if you want wisdom, get after the word and cultivate this deep relationship with Jesus. Fill your heart with God's wisdom. Fill your heart with God's word. So let me close this point just by giving you five ways to fill your heart with God's wisdom. You could write these five down, five ways to fill your heart with God's wisdom. Number one, hear God's word. Hear God's word. Maybe you like to listen to God's word. There's tons of ways to do that now. You could do that on a podcast, on the radio, right? You could pull up the ESV Bible app on your phone and hit play. In fact, I was very sick a few weeks back, and it was like I just couldn't read. I didn't have the energy. I was exhausted. But I wanted God's word. And so I just set my phone on my chest. I laid on the couch, and I just hit play. And I let God's word, the guy just read God's word to me. And occasionally, I would just pause it. I think about it for a second. I start it up again. But I love listening to God's word in the car or wherever you are, right? Don't leave tonight without downloading on your phone an ESV Bible app or something that you could hear God's word. The second one, five ways to fill your heart here with God's wisdom, would be to read God's word, right? Kind of the obvious one. And so putting my energy in daily and spending time with God's word, reading it, getting yourself a copy of God's word and putting it in your hands. And then I'll say this, daily having a time, a place, and a reading plan. You know, if those things aren't a part of your life, if you don't have a plan for that, then it's hard to stay consistent. So having a time that you're like, this is the time I'm going to spend with God, and this is the place. Like, I've got a special spot. It's a chair in the office or wherever, but I've got a place and I've got a plan. Like, every morning I don't need to get up and just flip through and say, you know, where, but I've got a plan for what I'm working through this month or this year. It's super helpful. Hear God's word, read God's word. Here's the next one, study God's word. Study God's word by getting a study Bible or getting a couple Old Testament or New Testament commentaries with some trusted authors, or you could get so many, there's so many free resources now online. Right, I'm sure you know plenty of them. There's Bible Gateway. I like BlueLetterBible.com. There's lots of just free things that you can get to dig into the grammar, the history, the context, the application even. And so we want to fill our heart with God's wisdom. We can do that by hearing His word and studying His, reading His word and studying His word. Here's the fourth one to write down: meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. You know, I heard Donald Whitney, who writes a lot on the spiritual disciplines, he said, I like this phrase, he says, read big, meditate small. And the idea behind this is to maybe take a chapter in the Bible, let's say, and read it a couple times. And then as you've prayed it through and read it, pick one thing that God's really put on your heart and think about that throughout the whole day. Think about it over and over and over and talk to God about it and chew on it. He says, this is the key to Christian growth. Read big, meditate small, spend that time thinking about God's word and talking to Him about that. So I want to fill my heart with God's wisdom. I can hear God's word, read God's word, study God's word, meditate on God's word, and then finally, number five, memorize God's word. All right, getting God's word put to memory is one of the best ways to live in the way of wisdom. All right, knowing God's word helps us to know God's thoughts each and every situation that you face. All right, so picking one of those five to focus on this month and going after that. In fact, take a second just to think about those five and which one you really want to go after here the next few weeks. All right, that's point one on getting wisdom. All right, point two, it goes right with it. I'll say it like this, it's kind of like the flip side of the same coin. So one is get it, fill your heart with God's wisdom. Number two now, guard it, protect your heart above all else. Guard it, protect your heart above all else. Look at verse 23. We're just going to cover this verse now. Very, very popular verse in the scriptures. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Remember, this is a father speaking to his son or sons, and Solomon loves his son, and he's concerned with his life and his future, and so he tells him to fill his heart with God's wisdom, and at the same time to guard your heart, son. Keep it. Guard it from the attacks that are going to come upon it. Keep it. How's your heart? Are you guarding it? Are you keeping it? You know, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's actually the word heart there's used around 70 times just in Proverbs alone. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about the blood pumper. It's not speaking about the anatomy of the heart. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's also not talking about just mere emotion, right? Like, not just like warm feelings of, man, I love you. It's not just that. When the Bible speaks of the heart, biblically, it's talking about this. The heart is the inner man. I'll say this. It's the real you. It's the inner man. It's the control seat and source of our lives. We're going to see that. It includes our emotions. But it also includes, I wrote this down, our thoughts, our motives, our decision making, and our will. It goes further. The Bible speaks in my heart. It's what we choose. It's what I choose, what I value, what I treasure, what I believe, what I love, what I think, what I do. Listen, it's how I view life. And listen, this is important. It's how I view God. The inner man, the real you. Here's a couple scriptures to back that up. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active. It says this, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay, thoughts, attitudes of the heart. Matthew 9:4, Jesus says this, knowing their thoughts, he says, why do you think evil in your heart? Why are you thinking evil in your heart? Right? Thoughts, attitudes. John 16:22, Jesus again says, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Right? There's the joy, the emotion of the heart. Your heart will rejoice. In Matthew 15:18-19, the last verse here, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Right? What comes out of my mouth is coming from my heart. And he says, this defiles a person. For out of the heart come what? Evil thoughts. We already hit that. Thoughts. Murder. Adultery. These are things that people do. Sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. So I think we get it. The condition then of your heart is the most vital issue of your life. Do you know that? I'm going to have you write that down. The condition of your heart is the most vital issue of your life. The condition of your heart tonight is the most vital issue of your life. So Solomon, he's warning his son now. And he says, keep your heart with all vigilance. New American Standard says it like this, watch over your heart with all diligence. NIV is the first translation I memorized. This was like, above all else, it says, guard your heart. I like that. Above all else, guard your heart. So the Bible warns us that we must guard it and watch over it and keep it with great care. And so think about that with your heart. And think about all the time and energy we spend guarding so many things. I was thinking about this like our cars, right? We make sure that we lock them. You know, we walk away. It's like, dee, 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 a couple times, make sure they're locked. Right? We got our cars locked. We insure our cars. We protect our cars. We protect our wallet. You know, sometimes you go to a crowded a vent, and you put the wallet in your front pocket, or you've got like that chain, right? You ever see guys where the chain is kind of connecting it to their jeans? And so we're spending time and energy, and we're guarding those things. We guard for sure our PIN numbers, right? Hiding it from other people as we punch it in, and we've got two-factor authentication, and we're hiding that, and we're guarding that, and we're guarding our homes. Right, we lock the doors, and some have an alarm system, and some even put a sign out front saying, yes, I do have an alarm system on this home. And so we're thinking about it, we're spending time, we're protecting it, but look, what about our hearts? Why leave that open for attack? It's the most vital issue of our life. We guard all that, but what about my heart? Like, this is a massive issue right here. I mean, just think about it. Over the next week, think about this. Take note of the things that try to influence your heart or change your values or affect your behavior. It's everywhere. From the places you go to the things that you read to the things that you see, the people you hang out with, it's everywhere. We're in a war. We're in a battle. You are on the front lines as a Christian. Solomon understood that. He was telling his son, keep it, guard it, protect it above all else. Look back at verse 23. Keep your heart. That's a command. He's commanding him, keep your heart, guard it. Like a guard that's sitting duty on a watchtower, scanning the horizon for nighttime raids and approaching armies, always constantly watching. That's us. Protecting our inner self, our minds, our thoughts, our emotions, our choices. And so the command is keep your heart. Verse 23 goes on to say, with all vigilance. There is an intensity to this command, right? With all vigilance, right? NIV, above all else, guard it. Guard your heart. This is the wisdom of God. Guard it like your very life depended on it. Protect your heart. Your inner self, constantly, all the time, guarding, 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 filling, filling, filling. You know, there was an old Puritan writer, I heard the story this week, and he gave an example about the importance and the necessity of guarding our hearts, of protecting it, and how we need to give that our greatest attention, time, our energy. He said this, quote him, he said, our hearts are like a musical instrument. In tune, they're just right. But then you set your instrument aside, or you travel with it, or you just bump into it, and just like that, it's out of tune. He says, there one hour you play your instrument, and it sounds so perfect. But a few hours later, it's out of tune again. It doesn't sound very good at all. He says, you know what? Our hearts are like that. If we don't guard it, it quickly goes out of tune. So think about your heart tonight. Is it out of tune? If you're like me, it doesn't take much. Just a little bump. All right? It's why we need to stay close and cultivate a relationship with Christ. It's why we need to protect our hearts. Why we need to fill our heart with God's wisdom. If your heart's out of tune, spend time with Christ, getting it back to the right sound again. I'll share another story with you about this. I don't know if you've heard of Wayne Grudem, but Wayne Grudem is, I guess, arguably one of the best theologians of our time, let's say. And he has written a lot of books, and he wrote a systematic theology book. Okay. All right, and it's a large book, and it's used in many, many quality seminaries around the country. And I heard him talk about this verse, and I heard him apply it to his own heart by sharing this story. And he tells the story of how he was out in Cambridge, and he was working on the ESV Bible translation team. He was one of the men that worked on that. And he and 10 other guys, he said, worked from 9 to 5. It was intense work. They were praying, they were translating every word of the Bible. It's like it was a big deal, and so it took every ounce of his attention, and he said he was exhausted. He would He'd then go back after those long days to the hotel in Cambridge, and he said they'd have dinner together. And he's like, it was really a slow process in Cambridge. It was soup, and then salad, and then the main meal, and then the dessert, like every single night. And then he said, I had to go back to the hotel, and I would catch up on emails, and I'd want to talk to my wife and give her a call. And so after a while of this, he decided to set the alarm a half hour later to get more sleep. And he says, and I quote him, he says, why do I need to get up early to pray and read the Bible personally when I'm spending 8 focused hours looking at the Hebrew and the Greek and talking about it with great men? End quote. So he gets up later. He says day 1 goes by, and 2 and 3, and he gets to day 4 of sleeping in, no personal alone time with God. And his wife, about day 4, notices something in him and begins to talk to him. And all of a sudden, he's like, it just hit me. I've not been keeping my heart. I've not been guarding my heart. I've not been protecting my heart. I've not been strengthening my heart. And so he made a note, and he carries it around on his phone. This was just really impactful as he told this story, as I think about this very godly man. And he says, I titled this in my phone, Results of Missing My Prayer and Private Bible Reading Time. This is what he wrote. Pride. Talking about myself a lot. Often inwardly hoping people will praise me. Lack of love towards friends. Irritable. General inward feeling of unease and unsettledness. Hard to concentrate on scripture and prayer. Self-reliance. No peace. He said he confessed that to God, how he wasn't guarding his heart and filling it. Confessed it to his wife, and even he said the translation team. Guys, here's the thing. If you don't keep your heart, as Proverbs tells us, it will go astray. It will be gone. We have to guard it and protect it above all else, right? This is why it's so crucial. The condition of your heart is the most vital issue of your life, okay? When you leave tonight, remember me saying that multiple times. The condition of your heart is the most vital issue of your life. Look what it says now in verse 23. Let's finish that verse. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Your heart, your inner self, is the very source of your life. What's in your heart, it's saying, will flow out into your life. Okay, what's in goes out. And you could say it this way, life comes from the heart, the inner self, the real you. It's a huge truth. It's a great verse. And so what if our heart is filled with wisdom, our life will be filled with wisdom. And if our heart is filled with foolishness, our life will be filled with foolishness. If your heart is filled with God, your life will show it. If your heart is filled with self, your life will show it. So, are you guarding your heart? Are you keeping it with all vigilance above all else? Are you keeping your heart in tune every moment of every day? Fill your heart with God's wisdom. Protect your heart above all else. Here's number 3. Live it. Apply God's wisdom to everyday life. I'm just going to say just really briefly a few things about these verses. I won't be here long on this. But a heart filled with wisdom will then live out that wisdom. And so Solomon tells his son here, basically he's going to give him 3 wise and practical applications. He's going to tell him about his lips or his speech, his eyes, and his feet. So let me read to you verses 24 to 27. It says, put away, son, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So first he says, your speech or your lips, put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you. Look, what you say shows your heart. Okay, you can say it like this. Your tongue is a tattletale that tells on your heart. Right? What comes out, like we talked about tonight, comes from the heart. And so he's like, fill your heart, son, with God's wisdom. And as you walk in that wisdom, well, then what? Well, that matters to the things that you say. And so speak then as wisdom would speak. Speak truthfully. Speak with purity. Speak without deceit and lying. Speak to build people up. Speak graciously. Speak words of God. The wisdom of God shows itself in our speech. It tells us where our hearts are. The next thing he tells him is basically his eyes. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. He's like, stay focused, son. Keep focused and keep your eyes on God. Don't allow your eyes to wander off into places of temptation. And that's exactly where he's going to go when he gets into verse 5, telling him and warning him about the adulterous woman, son. Don't even go near there. Don't look, don't go. Right? So keep your eyes focused on where you need to go. And then naturally he talks to him next about his feet. Ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going? Why are you going there, son? Go in the right way. He says, then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The right heart, he's saying, will keep you on the right path. Right? A wise heart keeps you on the path or the way of wisdom. Stay on the path of life. Don't take the way of the wicked. Don't go with them. Don't entertain it. Don't allow your heart to go there. Security and life is found in the path of righteousness, in the place of wisdom. So simple, practical, daily wisdom given here from Solomon to his son. And he is focused. Solomon is urgent in teaching his son to be all in for wisdom. Right? That's why I said read through this week. There's awesome stuff in Proverbs. But he all through this, he's making sure his son is all in. And we want to make sure that we're all in. Getting God's wisdom and then living that wisdom out, ready to live it out for God no matter what. Are you in? Are you all in? His wisdom, his word, his ways. I'm filling my heart with his wisdom. I'm guarding and protecting my heart. I'm living out the wisdom stored in my heart. So final story. I read this one this week. And I'll close with this. In the 1989 finish of the Tour de France, Greg LeMond was 50 seconds behind the Frenchman, Laurent Fignon. It's kind of fun to say, Laurent Fignon. All right, so he's 50 seconds behind him in 1989 on the Tour de France. There's only one leg to go, and it was a 20-mile time trial. So all that's left is 20 miles, which is almost nothing in this race. The entire race is 2,000 miles long. It's a lot of time on the bike, all right? So really, nobody can make up 50 seconds over a world-class rider in that time. So the U.S. rider, Greg LeMond, says to his teammates and all the technicians, I quote now, I don't want any radio connection in my head at all. I don't want you to tell me how close I am to him or anything. I am going to ride as fast as I can ride. So there's no point in having an earbud in my ear since I'm going flat out, end quote. Love that. He beats Fignon by 8 seconds. So he won a 2,000-mile race by 8 seconds in 1989. He went flat out. He was all in. Total focus, total intensity. That's what we need, right? Total focus, total intensity. To fill our heart, to guard our heart, and then to live it flat out for God. Are you in?